Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Batman The Long Halloween Part 2.
Where it gets better.
Absolutely. I mean, these last 2 weeks have flown by. It's almost like we'd literally just finished recording the previous episode.
Almost like that.
Speaking of things that are kind of brief, we open the film with a near-identical title card, though it is slightly different, clips from the comic book. That are inserted.
I didn't really pay any attention to those. So I was like going, I never really do.
Doesn't help, but the opening credit music is especially dull.
It's not inspiring.
No.
But also, I'm just like going, well, so I don't really pay a lot of attention to the opening credits of most films.
Yeah.
Unless they really grab me. So, I mean, I do for TV shows because, I know, they tend to have more character. And, you know, some films, they do grab me. It's not, I never do it. But it's not, none of these ones have really... I think maybe a couple we've commented on it when I thought they were cool.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're kind of generic boring.
So, we open up to Wayne Manor in the spring. And
because it's springtime, what are we up to now? We've just had, we had New Year, so we've got Valentine's Day next, right?
Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. So, yes, it is the springtime. It is, though it doesn't tell us, it's 3 months since the death of Alberto. Bruce is ensorcelled and enraptured. I don't know what the term is. Under the influence of poison ivy.
Yeah, just being controlled. I think mind controlled. I was about to say something rude. Mind controlled.
Yes. So, Ivy is influencing Bruce to help serve Falcone's purposes, transferring various assets, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, there was a hit outside of Salvatore Moroni's house, as opposed to Falcone's. There is other hits on St. Patrick's. I believe that there is a hit on April Fool's, though.
They don't really do that in America, do they? Oh yeah, they do.
Well, because this is something that is, because in the comic book,
yeah,
there is an attempt at Riddler's life that is deliberately failed.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually. I quite like that.
Yeah. Also, at this point, Wayne Manor is completely taken over by Vines. Alfred is also under Ivy's influence.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Bruce is about to sign the entire company and foundation over to Carmine Falcone, after which he will probably be killed, Catwoman attacks.
Cat attack.
And manages to...
I just enjoy saying that. Cat attack.
And is able to help break Bruce out of this, out of Ivy's power, not before Bruce attacks her. she does successfully remove, because basically he's wrapped in vines under a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce does not have a clue what's happened in the last few months. He asks, is Holiday still attacking? Yes, he is. And we see that a weapon seller by the name of Chong is the next to be attacked. And it turns out that it's Mother's Day, And Holiday has been cleaning up and killed the man who sold him his weapons. Also on the same day, Scarecrow and another Arkham Asylum inmate, who we won't mention yet, have escaped. Batman manages to give chase. He's already prepared for Scarecrow to attack him with gas, but he's not prepared for a direct injection of fear toxin. Because we've got, like, almost 3 hours to do this story, so we've got to have the flashback at some point.
Yeah, we do.
To be fair, there is the you could make the argument, well, this is the first time that we've done this in this universe. This could be the first time someone's seeing a Batman film, so we've got to see Joe Chill in the alley with the pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Though, once again, Catwoman saves him, though Bruce thinks it's his mother for some, well, fear toxin hallucinations.
Interesting.
Yes. Particularly when you consider Catwoman and Batman's relationship.
Yeah.
That makes it slightly creepy. We also, at this point, cut to another Harvey and Gilda Dent scene. Is Gilda ever happy in this film?
No.
The whole film! She's just...
No, she's really miserable the whole time.
Yes. I mean, to be fair, she is also committing multiple homicide. And I'd be worried if she was happy, but...
Yeah.
Just every time she appears on screen, there's a... Oh, no. Meanwhile, Sophia Falcone, who is Falcone's daughter, arrives. She was behind the Scarecrow escape. She wants to be in the family more directly.
Yeah.
Carmine turns it down. Also, he has a massive police escort at all times now. So this is all taking place during Father's Day. At the same time, Harvey Dent and Jim Gordon visit Bruce Wayne. At first, I thought that this was a, oh, they know. They don't know.
They don't know.
This is them trying to eliminate Bruce as a suspect.
Mm.
At this point, we also see a flashback to Carmine Falcone being saved by Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Also, and this, I don't know how the timeline works for this, because Bruce is alive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how old Carmine's meant to be at this moment. His dad's still around. Bruce ends up getting a two-headed coin from Carmine.
Yeah, which is cool.
Also, once the flashback ends, we then see Alfred lay the smackdown on Jim Gordon and Harvey Dent.
Which is funny.
Yep, funniest scene in the film. And meanwhile, we cut to Maroni visiting his dad. Also, he's dating Sophia, which turns out to be important later. So, we are at a vineyard, I think? Or, I don't know, it's... Retirement home for Maroni's father. Maroni thinks the Batman might be Holiday.
Yeah, which is always fun. Why not? Why not?
I'm interested that no one else at any point suggests that as a possibility.
Yeah, it's very funny.
So, Salvatore Maroni's father is killed right in front of him. And they're trying to really hint hard that Sophia is Holiday.
Yeah, which didn't really work, but...
So... We then see Carmine Falcone meeting someone at a graveyard. I don't know if this is meant to be him visiting Moroni's grave or Moroni Sr.'s grave, or if this is just another human being he cares about. Obviously, I don't think we ever see his wife in this film.
No, I don't
Or,
think we do.
I mean, he's got children, so you assume at some point he's had a partner. So, meanwhile, Moroni visits Harvey Dent and offers to turn witness on Falcone.
Which is good, because now we're going to get him, get the mafia dude.
So it is the 4th of July. Jim Gordon, Harvey Dent, and Carmine Falcone end up in the same area. Falcone is looking to speak with Gilda for some reason.
Yes, this is gonna go well.
And then the man that Sir Falcone paid off attacks. At first, it seems that he's attacking Harvey.
Yeah,
Meanwhile,
which would be funny.
Batman is distracted because he's busy fighting Scarecrow and Mad Hatter. Because Scarecrow is holding a bank heist. Batman is knocked out by Mad Hatter, who in this film is just a crazy man. Meanwhile, Harvey Dent and Catwoman team up to fight the Hitman.
Yeah, there's other stuff going on.
The Hitman says, "No, you weren't the target," but doesn't say who the target is. Also, at one point, Harvey prevents Catwoman from killing the Hitman.
Which is good. We don't see Catwoman kill.
Also, Harvey ends up getting into a scrap with the Hitman. He gets knocked down, and he hears a voice in his head telling him to get up.
Chumbawamba. Niche joke.
Flew over my head, I'll be honest.
They did. I get knocked down, but I get up.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes, okay. The most classy song to feature the lyrics "Pissing the Night Away."
I don't swear on this podcast.
Yes, you do. I just edited it out. So, Dent wakes up to find the assassin dead with a holiday crime scene set up, and he's completely blacked out, and
Yeah.
he's hearing a voice in his head. So at this point, I think he becomes convinced he's holiday.
Well, he's not sure.
Yeah. So even Dent thinks Dent might be holiday at this point. Certainly, Carla Vitti thinks that Dent is and says as much on TV. Whilst this is happening, Batman is in Harvey Dent's basement and he finds a familiar gun. Because Holliday's been leaving the same model of gun at every crime scene. Also, he sees a flag for Oxford University.
Which is very important, my alma mater.
It's very important. Also, at this point, I should have mentioned, I forgot to mention, because it's said in like a disposable line at this point.
Yeah.
Alberto Falcone also went to Oxford.
Everyone went to Oxford.
I never went to Oxford, I went to Glasgow.
Well, well, you can pretend you won't.
So, we then cut to the courtroom where Moroni is giving witness testimony to Harvey Dent. It's not quite clear what this is because it's not. If it is a trial, we've had no setup and no arrest for it. Moroni is playing up to the crowd. And Harvey's starting to have some really serious mental issues. He's hearing a voice, and it's very loud in his head, and it keeps distracting him.
Yes, I think we all know what's going on.
And if you didn't know what's going on, Salvatore Moroni throws acid in Harvey Dent's face.
Because, so he can look the same.
Because he thinks that Harvey Dent is Holiday.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily justify throwing acid in the face, but I guess, you know,
well,
these are mafia types.
They well, don't... Holiday killed his father.
I know, that's what I mean. But, like, that doesn't... Look, if someone killed my dad, that doesn't justify me throwing acid in their face.
No, I know, but you're not a mafia...
Right,
boss.
Which is what I then said. These are mafia
point.
People in, like, in Gotham.
Yes. So, we don't see Harvey Dent's face at this point.
But we all know what it's going to look like.
Yep. Particularly if you look at the front cover art of the film.
Well, yeah.
So...
I make it a point not to look at anything, so, you know.
Yeah. So,
I don't make it a point, I just never do.
At this point, at the hospital, it becomes clear to Harvey that... Okay, they think I'm Holiday. And this voice that's in his head takes over. Meanwhile, we cut to Salvatore... No, Carmine Falcone's birthday. A peace has been agreed with Moroni, facilitated by Sophia. The party is interrupted, however... when Carla is murdered in the elevator.
It's great.
So, Holiday strikes again.
Yep.
Also, I forgot to mention, the outfit the Holiday has in this movie, it's like, it's a trench coat with a pulled-up bandana and a hat.
Yeah.
Batman then approaches Gilda Dent, asks if Harvey went to Oxford.
Because clearly this is now a massive plot point.
Yes, and also it has to be Harvey Dent at this point. There's no other person in this house it could possibly be.
No, there isn't, though.
No, there's no other suspects here.
No.
Though at this point, Gilda says, no, Harvey went to Gotham U.
Oh no, Harvey, you loser.
And at no point does Batman go, well, who does the Oxford flag belong to then?
But also, this always makes me laugh about DC, is that you have the made-up cities of Metropolis and Gotham and Bloodhaven and whatever, and then Oxford. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like... So, like, all these made-up cities and then a real one because, you know, at this point it kind of matters.
Yep.
You know.
So, meanwhile, Harvey Dent is being looked after by Solomon Grundy in the sewers. And Batman visits Calendar Man again because...
He's... being helpful, which is, it's not really.
I mean, it's more a case of Batman wants to sound off against someone, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess that he doesn't have a Robin in this.
Yes.
So, and he needs someone to talk it through with.
Yes, pretty much. And also, Calendar Man was in the comic book, so we've got to use that.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's...
Yeah,
because in the comic book, the idea is that he kind of hints that it's purely, it's as much a competition thing for him.
Yeah, he likes, yeah.
And he does contribute more in the comic book, but obviously...
Okay, good.
They have to cut out
a lot
just for time.
Even with two films.
Yeah. So... It is Labor Day, and actually, to be fair, Calendar Man does actually suggest something. If it is Harvey Dent, you have something he wants. Which is Salvatore Moroni.
Oh, so like bait him.
Yes, you have bait.
Unbelievable.
Which... So, they decide to do a prisoner transfer with a masked SWAT officer in the van. The SWAT van is then attacked by Solomon Grundy. Salvatore Moroni tries to run off, only to run into Harvey Dent. It turns out the SWAT officer was Batman.
Of course.
And also, apparently, this was that's why the SWAT officer was Jim Gordon in the Dark Knight. It was literally done as a reference to this.
Interesting.
Actually, that whole scene is pretty much just a reference to this scene in the comic.
Yeah.
So, but Harvey actually puts his gun down and isn't going to kill Moroni. So Holiday does it instead.
Of course. It's and weird.
The situation... chaos ensues, which allows Harvey Dent, Solomon Grundy, and Holiday to all escape. it is now, once again, Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. So now we know we're coming to an end.
And also Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because we get another Calendar Man scene here for no reason. What we do get is a visitor to Arkham Asylum. It's Solomon Grundy.
Hello, Solomon Grundy.
So, meanwhile, Jim Gordon and Batman discuss the case. I think it's at this point where someone says, oh, Harvey Dent didn't study at Oxford. He studied at Gotham University. Batman then goes and confronts Carmine Falcone. He also mentions he doesn't understand why Alfredo died. Because that means...
None of us understand why Alfredo died.
Because if it's to weaken the Mafia, why would Alfredo die?
Who
knows? So Alberto even.
I know what you mean, Alberto.
He's so important to the plot, I've even spelled his name right.
Exactly.
So, Carmine then points his gun at Batman, mentions something weird about wives, just kind of offhand.
Wow.
Which, at the time, doesn't make sense, though obviously it does once you know the actual story. Catwoman saves Batman. Also, at this point, we find out, oh no, Catwoman wants to confront Falcone because she is convinced that Carmine is her father.
Yeah.
And doesn't know her mother's name, and... Okay. Fine. Batman and Catwoman kiss. That's the...
Yeah.
They reunite. Meanwhile... explosions go round Gotham because Arkham Asylum has had a breakout.
Of course it has.
So Scarecrow, Ivy, and Mad Hatter are teaming up, and Harvey Dent has also got his own team with him, which is Joker, who's decided, oh, I don't care about killing Holiday anymore. Solomon Grundy and, for some reason, the Penguin.
Yeah, I mean, just to get him in, I guess.
Because Penguin has to be in this film somehow.
I mean, he doesn't. We've had so many characters, but I appreciate it anyway.
So, a fight breaks out. Sophia is taken out. Carmine gets into a gunfight with Grundy, Dent, Joker, and Penguin. Batman and Catwoman defeat Ivy, Hatter, and Scarecrow. And meanwhile, Carmine and Harvey Dent talk. This is when Batman and Catwoman attack. Grundy is knocked out with fear toxin. And Ivy is able to subdue both Batman and Catwoman. Though Batwoman is able to break out of her manipulation this time.
Hooray.
Meanwhile, Harvey flips a coin and shoots Carmine Falcone. Sophia attacks, tries to shoot Harvey with his own gun, and then, through circumstances, falls out of a window. Catwoman tries and fails to save her.
I mean, this sounds ridiculous, just having you, like, go through it all.
Yep. And, I mean, this is the finale at this point. And Carmine recognizes, a dying Carmine recognizes Catwoman when she unmasks, says Louisa, which I take it is to be the name of Catwoman's mother. And Batman then, as Carmine passes away, effectively lets Carmine know that he's Bruce Wayne. In a way that Harvey couldn't tell as well, at least. Harvey Dent at this point then hands himself into Gordon and claims that he's responsible for all the killings. He ends up in Arkham. Meanwhile, the actual killer is Gilda Dent.
Which, you know, really I pegged from the minute I saw her.
And Batman then confronts her as she is burning all the evidence. And we find out the motivation for Gilda Dent in this film.
Which is stupid.
Oh, it's so bad. Weirdly, not as bad as the comic, but we'll get to that. So, because she is part... She's also Holiday in the comic book, but we'll get to that because it's very different. So, Gilda went to Oxford with Alberto. They were in love. They got married. And she was pregnant. And then, because the child was conceived out of wedlock...
I mean, this is awful. My brain switched off again.
Forced her to have an abortion and annulled the marriage. And when she was forced to have an abortion, it left her infertile. And that is why she's Holiday, because she wanted revenge on the Mafia for that.
She's telling you so many bad, like, stories about reproductive health in terms of whether abortion would cause sterility, how people who are like, oh, you can't have a child out of wedlock, have no issue with abortion.
Yeah.
It's a very mixed message just to have a woman be the serial killer.
And...
for stupid reason.
Batman then goes, well, are you going to kill anyone else? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine then. Also, he hints that Harvey knows because he started protecting Holiday. And doesn't answer when she says, well, are you going to tell Jim Gordon?
Yeah.
But hey, at least we do get a slightly happy ending because... Alfred gets his trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, but it's annoying Justice Leaguers.
No, he does actually get trick-or-treaters first.
Oh, does he? I didn't notice that. I just noticed the annoying.
No, that's the post-credit scene.
Oh, I thought we were there. Okay, yeah, fair.
And Catwoman is there with... Sorry, and Selina is there with Bruce.
Yes, they made up.
Yes. And yes, post-credit, Flash and Green Arrow visit Bruce. Hooray.
Hooray.
So, in the comic book, just to kind of address this. So firstly, one, the reveal of Alberto as Holiday happens before Two-Face breaks out the guys from Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it is revealed later, basically the last scene of the comic book is Gilda disposing of the Holiday outfit. The reason she was doing it is because Harvey was spending too much time fighting the Mafia. So she started killing Mafia members. And then she only killed the first couple of them.
Crazy.
And then someone else started doing it for her. And whilst Alberta was taking the fall for it, she is convinced it was actually Harvey Dent.
Jesus.
So somehow it is worse.
I don't know. Why do people think this is... Maybe the comic is good. Oh, you said the art.
The artwork is absolutely fantastic. It's a beautiful comic book. And it is a hugely influential story. As we've kind of mentioned in passing, there's a lot of... there is a lot of beats from this story that end up getting used in, well, in two separate adaptations of Batman. And it's really the last of the kind of big stories of Batman to be left to be adapted as well.
Really? Because I'm guessing there's loads. Well, you mean of that era, I guess.
I mean, that's every single one of the kind of famous pre-New 52 stories that are like Batman-centric.
Yeah, I guess I meant the pre-52.
The only ones I could really think of is Nightfall, which is virtually impossible to adapt because it's such a large arc. And No Man's Land, which, again, requires such a lot of backstory. That you'll never get an adaptation of it.
Right.
So, any kind of... the only stories I could think of that they would end up doing now would be maybe something like Death of the Family, which is when Joker wears his face as a mask. Something,
thank you.
Or something involving the Bat Who Laughs.
I mean, they'll definitely do a Bat Who Laughs. Definitely at some point.
They haven't, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's not that old a story. Like, I mean, and they've been trying to go for sort of bigger and bigger group ones.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. It depends how many times they want to make these animated films, to be honest. They haven't done the Dick Batman and Robin.
No, they've not done anything with that, or Battle for the Cowl as well, which is the...
I could see them trying to condense that all into one.
One issue I could see with that is there have been two recent adaptations... well, not adaptations, there have been two recent... Gotham Knights the game and Gotham Knights the TV series, both of which are the premise of Batman's dead, what happens next? And neither of them has got particularly positive feedback.
Yeah, but when have they ever not reused stuff? I mean, how many times have we had the death of Jason Todd?
Fair. No, fair.
And that's within the same, you know, not that long period. Yeah. But also, have they done Court of Owls?
Yes, we've watched Court... well, there was a Court of Owls adaptation in Batman and so on.
Right, yeah, but that was not of the actual comic, not very much of the comic, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I'm not an expert on Batman. I've had enough Batman films, that's for sure.
Well, to be fair, I think we've only got one Batman film, or Batman solo-led film left.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's what I mean. They've kind of veered more towards the sort of group stuff.
A lot of them, yes.
Because most of the live action are just Batman.
Yes. To the point where we literally... well, we are at a point now where Jensen Ackles might be the first person to both voice an animated Batman and perform as him in live action. Because the rumours are that, well, I know that's the guy who's meant to be the favourite for the James Gunn universe Batman film.
No, it's not going to happen. He wants a younger Batman. Well, he wants a younger Superman. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Jensen Ackles. I think there's some people who would like it to be.
I'll be honest, I'd like it to be.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but I just don't think it will be.
Yeah. So, anyway, coming up next, we're going to have Aquaman, King of Atlantis, followed by Injustice, followed by Catwoman Hunted, followed by Teen Titans Go and DC Superhero Girls Mayhem in the Multiverse.
God.
But
what a
hey,
terrible run.
But hey, at least after that we've got League of Super Pets.
Which is fine. I mean, like, I don't want people make people think that this is the best film in the world. It's fine. I mean, and it is fun. But like, wow, we have a lot of. I mean,
after
of these,
that we've also got Green
some
Lantern.
Some of these might be surprisingly good, but like they don't sound it.
We've also got Green Lantern Beware My Power come up, which is meant to be absolutely abysmal.
Great. Can't wait. So glad we're doing this.
Well, we're almost done. We're almost
can't
done.
Can't sell me on abysmal films. We're going to get some that we enjoy, guaranteed.
Who knows? Maybe they'll bounce around and just be so bad they're good. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, would you like to remind us what film, what podcasts you appear on as well as this one?
Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon, and Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast.
And I still do Rise of the Robots, which is a Robot Wars BattleBots podcast. We are currently working our way through Robot Wars Extreme Warriors Season 2.
Just sounds fun.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's, well, what happens if you get the dregs of the American robot combat scene,
mm-hmm.
fly them over to England, and then have them fight in the Robot Wars UK arena with Mick Foley as the presenter?
You do get yourself into some podcasts, Alan.
I'm also, well, I'm already starting to go, well, what am I going to do once this podcast's finished?
Oh no! Have a break. Read books.
I could do a book podcast.
You could. Guest star on ours. Come on. Come on, ours. Read some comics.
I'll think about it. That would mean buying comic books. I haven't bought comic books in about four years.
Well, I mean,
years.
To be fair, I have digital copies of many, so.
Fair. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with an Aquaman film.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.